Hey friends, today I want to tell you about Melissa Arlena. She's one of our TMA favorite go-to SEO educators for photographers. With over 15 years of experience in both photography and SEO, she's crafted services that truly understand and meet your needs. Her aim is to make SEO simple for maternity, newborn, and family photographers. And if you're like me, I need simple when it comes to SEO. Her favorite way to help photographers tackle their website SEO is her signature group coaching program, Picture Perfect Rankings. Over a 4-month time frame, you'll learn how to do keyword research, homepage and portfolio optimization, and blogging for 2024 that clients actually want to read and drive crazy traffic to your website. Plus, you'll have her to ask questions of and get her eyes on your work just to make sure it's perfect. For our listeners, there's a little perk, 20% off of shop products and courses. So head to melissaarlena.com/picture-perfect-rankings and let's get your work the attention it deserves.
I think I'm always a pretty joyful person. I actually had a boyfriend that broke up with me once because he was like, "Oh, you're so silver lining." You know, and I'm like, sorry. But I just, you know, like if something goes wrong, I'm always the first one that's like, yeah, but what we learned from this is, you know, I can usually stay in a pretty happy place, but last year was kind of struggling. I struggled with it a little bit more. And so I've really just been resonating on this idea of like, just be thankful in all your circumstances. You learn from all of them. You grow with all of them. You know, I always say that to my kids that this hard moment right now is what sheds light on the good moments. Like you can't even really be appreciative of the really good moments without it being sort of reflected by, oh, that was hard. Now this is good. And so just being thankful in like every circumstance that you're in, because there's always something good that you can learn from it.
Hey y'all, thank you for coming back for part 2 of my episode with Laura Esmond of Reese & Co. Portraits. If you haven't listened to part 1, I want you to go back. It's so full of good wisdom from Laura that I don't want you to miss out on that. So now I present to you part 2 and episode number 75 of the Motherhood Anthology podcast. Tell me a little just, you know, highlights from beginning of client inquiry through the sales appointment. Like, how are you planting those seeds so that they're excited for that in-person sales session?
Yes. So I guess it's sort of like, you know, you have your customer journey, right? So one of the things that I did a long time ago, and I actually do this with my students, or it's part of the course that I have, but you need to know every single step and sort of write it out. So but this is like the real logistical headspace piece of your business. Like my client needs to book a session. So they contact me and they go to my website, they contact me. What happens next? And so you kind of go through the whole process. And for me, that is so like riding a bike for me now, that I can ride that bike, that customer journey bike, very easily. And that's what our experience is, right? Like how do we respond to emails? What information are we giving them? How pretty is our brochure, right? Like it's just very logistical. But then there's also that other piece where it's more conversational, and we need to bring our client from checking a task off their list to that end goal of like, what do you want? And what do you want to feel? And where are you going to put them so you can enjoy them every day? Like what's our goal? What's our purpose here? So it's taking them into that heart space. So their headspace is, I need to check something off my list. The heart space is, I really want something beautiful in my home. My kids are so adorable right now. I got a client text the other day that was like, I literally want to bottle up my little girls right now, and I need portraits. I just can't. And I know that sensation of like, my heart is hurting. I love them so much. And so I'm always trying to bridge those two things. So my experience is sort of bridging between, okay, let me help you logistically know always, here's how you do this. Here's what's next. I will help you with this piece. Here's what you can wear, and helping them check those things off their list so they feel relaxed about it, but always bringing them back to, okay, well, if we're designing, you know, the colors, well, what colors are in your home? Where are you thinking about have, you know, hanging a portrait, if you think you're going to hang a portrait, or do you have a family wall that maybe we're filling in another image, or have you thought about an album? I know you just redesigned your living room. You know, would an album look pretty on your coffee table? So it's just always having those conversations that remind them of, okay, I'm not just checking things off. I actually want to create something here.
So are you doing that like initial email, like questionnaire? Are you getting on the phone? Like,
So
how are you?
I've played around with so many things there, right? We're always like, what is the best way to respond to an inquiry? And how much information should I collect when somebody inquires? I have recently moved to on my website. I used to have this like long questionnaire that was or like contact form that asked a whole handful of questions, and even had a thing of like, you know, I will be investing X amount likely in portraits, something along those lines. Like it even touched a little bit on money because I was trying to weed out people that couldn't afford me. And I recently, this guy actually was like, why are you doing that? There are some people that are just, they just don't feel like filling out your form. They can afford you. They just don't want to fill out your form. So that resonated with me. And I was like, oh my gosh, you're probably right. I'm that person. I wouldn't want to fill out my form. I would find it kind of inhibiting. So I recently change the form on my website to just be a very simple inquiry. Let you know, what are you interested in? What session type are you interested? Phone, email. Here's a box if you want to give me more information. I would love more information. And then I respond very quickly, like literally as quickly as possible, with a brochure and briefly in the email, giving them a price range. It's $300 for a portrait session. My smallest package is about $1,500. This, you know, most people spend around this. Look at the brochure. I want to get them because by this point, they already like what they saw. They saw enough to inquire. At this point, they're just like, tell me what it costs. Like, I just need to know that. So I just want to answer that question right away.
So is
And
your brochure pricing, or are they, you're not sending full pricing, you're just giving them a range.
I do. It's in the brochure.
Okay.
And so, but my brochure is kind of lengthy. So I put it in that email. So they can, oh, they, as soon as they open the email, they know the price. They don't have to dig through my brochure. And that's sort of a thought, right? Like, should we have big brochures? I know, I remember listening at one point, Allison said that she was like, I don't know, I moved to something, or maybe she said it in the Facebook group. She's like, I moved to something really simple. You know, and it, I'm just giving them pricing because that's really what they need at that point. Like, you know, I really like to do little bits of information. So answer the question they're asking at that point, answer it right away. Then maybe give them that next step with just a little bit more information, you know? So the next step would be here you, and I let people book online. I do not try to make myself look busier than I am. If somebody is ready to book, I want them to just be able to book online right there. And so I have my schedule open. My kids are in school, so this is easy for me. This would be a little harder. It's a little harder when your kids are not. I would not have done it this way. But I'm like, I'm available from 9 a.m. to 2 p.m. every day, Tuesday through Friday. So, but you know, I only book newborn sessions in the morning. So you click newborn and those, you know, at 9 a.m. is available on any day that I actually have it open. So I try to make, and that was the one thing I learned in the my volume, you know, retail space was people really want things to be easy. They you know, they like your pretty words and they like your pretty pictures, but they also like just here's the question that I'm asking, and I would love it if you could just answer that real quick for me and then give me a little bit more information. So that's just that I try to be as transparent as possible. I've actually even thought, I'm like, gosh, maybe I should just put my pricing online. Like, just put it there. I don't know how I feel about that, but we did when we were volume because we were able to be slightly less expensive. It was a less expensive offer. So I felt like that was like a selling point. The prices in that studio was a selling point. Like, we are not really expensive. So here's the pricing right here. And people would book in the middle of the night all the time. I mean, they wouldn't even talk to us. We'd have to call them and be like, hi, who are you? You know, nice to meet you. And so that was the price range. And so with this, I give the information as quickly as possible. And then when they book, it's a little bit of maybe a couple emails, you know, answering questions. And then they book, they get an automated email, but I always follow up. As soon as I even kind of forget that that automated email goes out, but it just has, here's a way to book a consultation with me. I highly recommend it for your first session with me. And then here is a planning guide. So I give them this big planning guide that has checklists that they can print off and styling information. And here's my client closet and like photos of a lot of the dresses. And here's how you should prepare your children. And it just has a lot of information. But as we know, people don't always want to read. So at this point, if it's a brand new client, somebody I've never worked with before, I send them, everybody gets an email from me, but in the email to brand new clients, I say, I would really love to hop on a call with you. Here's a link to book that call. If you don't see something that works for you, just let me know when it does. I'll make it work. And so I hop on a call with them and we talk a little bit about styling, getting them ready. That's the first thing we talk about, because that's the first thing that's on their mind, right? Their checklist. They're checking things off their list right now. I book the session. Okay, next step, style. What am I going to wear? So I get them comfortable there. And then I ask, what are we going to do with the images? Are you thinking you want something for the nursery? Do you think you want to do an album? You know, what am I photographing for? And I always ask that because I've been in situations where, and I tell this a lot, like I shoot a lot of vertical. But if somebody's like, I actually have like this space in my house and it would be perfect to have this like a horizontal image there. I'm like, okay, I got to make sure I photograph horizontal for you. So I want to know, not just for the sales piece of it, I want to know what they plan to do with them so I can make sure that I shoot and then we can create that for them. So we kind of touch on it. If they're like, oh yeah, I saw, you know, the photo of an album that you had in the brochure. Oh, perfect. Yeah. So those cost X and they're really beautiful, et cetera. You know, so we just sort of discuss it a little bit further, but I'm not selling them. I'm just making them aware of the fact that I have that product. And I'm taking notes, you know, I'm writing down or, you know, putting it in my, I use Acuity for scheduling. And so I just put it in the notes for the client. I'm like, they were interested in this. They might want a framed piece. They're probably going to book newborn. They're, you know, et cetera. So then at the session, if it's in the studio, before they're done, I always, before they leave, I show them some of the products, or kind of in the middle of the session sometimes, because I have a one big, huge open space. And there's this table that separates the, like a little sitting area from the shooting area. And there's a bunch of products sitting there. And I'll see them flipping through and if I see them checking something out, I'm like, oh, isn't that so pretty? And I'll make sure dad sees prices, because that's a really important piece. You have to make sure everybody knows how much things cost. And so I'm just sort of very casually and organically talking about the artwork as we go. You know, I could be shooting and I'm like, oh my gosh, this is a framer. Like this, what we're doing right now, I can't wait to show it to you, because this is going to be something you'll want to frame, you know, but I really feel that way. Like I actually feel like, okay, right now, like this is the mm-hmm. shot. This is it. And then when we're done with the session, I always feel like we sort of end on a high. Like I'm a pretty excitable person. So mm-hmm. I'm always like, oh, we did so good. And high fiving, you know, if there are little kids there, I'm like giving them fist bumps. And I always, you know, get little kids lollipops when they come into the session. So they're like running for the lollipop. And I'm like, okay, guys, I cannot wait to share these images with you. They're so good. Can you guys meet next week on like Wednesday? And I mean, they don't even flinch. They're like, yes, you know, or no, but Thursday works or whatever. Mm-hmm. And that's when, if dad is there, because they're, sometimes I only photograph the mom for the maternity. He's always like, oh, well, I can't make that. Can you guys do this? You know, like, he's like, I want to see them. I want to experience this. Mm-hmm. You know, cause they're excited because I'm excited.
And I love that you didn't say, hey, are you guys going to be able to come back and view your, you said, can you come back next Wednesday?
Yeah. Because I just assume they want to, because it is a really fun meeting. Like I sometimes enjoy that, right? Because it's like, there's no pressure. It's just, you know, I feel like when I'm shooting, I like kind of get into a zone and I'm like, oh gosh, I really hope I get what they want. And, you know, I get in my head a little bit and I'm, you know, tweaking and doing and, but when I'm showing the images, aside from, you know, you know, when you're first starting out and you're like, oh, I hope they love them. I'm just so excited to share them. And I know that it's going to be fun. I know they're going to enjoy the slideshow. And, you know, and I always have like drinks and snacks, and I just try to make it an enjoyable, like I'm hosting them.
So they're coming back to you, to the studio?
Sometimes. So I always let, I'm trying to think how I, like, if there's like something I say, I don't know what I say, to be honest. I think I'm just like, can you guys come? Oh, I guess I always do kind of slip in, especially if they're not immediately like, yes, let's come back on Wednesday. I guess I do at some point kind of say like, and I can always come to you. I am more than happy. You know, like you're really pregnant right now. If you want me to come to you, or, you know, a lot of times dad works from home, and I'm like, would it be easier for your work day if we kind of carve out time that I come to you so you don't have to worry about travel? So I am more than happy to go to my clients' houses. I mean, I last week drove 45 minutes up to 50 minutes up to a client's house. I'm like, I don't mind. It was my first session to do with them. They're having their first baby. They hired me to do their newborn session while we were in that ordering meeting. And this was me creating a relationship with her. You know, like she was, you know, the husband came in, he was able to see the slideshow. He was like, I love that one, that one, that one, that one. Like those, you have to get those, you know? And then he was like, whatever else you want. And then he took off, and she's had a kind of a hard pregnancy. And we talked and chatted a lot about, you know, how she was feeling, and we walked around her, you know, we talked about her house and where she could put images. I mean, I don't know. It's so much more about the relationship than about trying to get them to buy 5 pieces of wall art.
Right.
You know?
So you mentioned that you don't do sneak peeks. So the sales appointment is the first time that they're seeing images.
Yes.
And yep. You're doing a slideshow. Either are you still in studio? Are you using still using the TV or the iPad?
So in the studio, I have an HDMI cable, so I connect my laptop to the screen, to the TV. If I'm in a client studio, I literally just open up my laptop and I put it in front of them. I've been trying to figure out, I'm like, how can I get like a secondary screen so that I can like kind of make it? But I like stand off to the side. I sit off to the side and I have my mouse, and I have the screen right in front of them. Mm-hmm. Then I just have the mouse by me, so I can still control and kind of move things around and work through the program, but they have it right in front of them.
You could Apple TV screen share.
Yeah, well, that, and I was reading that I could try. I see. You just said that. I'm like, I don't even know what that means. I mean, I kind of.
Well, I'm just learning about.
That's a great idea.
I really hesitate to say these sorts of things because I don't want people to think I'm that old. But, I mean, I've had Apple TV for a long time, but I just have learned to be efficient in like screen sharing. So just take your little Apple TV, plug it into, I don't know, I guess you can do that with a separate iPad, but I've done it with the TV, and then you just screen share. Yeah.
I should look into that, because I think it would be really cool to have it. I think having the big screen is a very cool experience when it is really nice and big. But I will say that if anybody is out there who is like me, I mean, I don't love technology off the bat, but once I figure it out, I'm like, okay, I'm all in on it. Right. So I could see myself eventually finding the time to work that out. But for anyone who's like, oh, heck no, I am not figuring out how to do that. It does not matter.
No,
it does not matter. You can have a small screen and they are still happy. They're still perfectly happy. And I kind of hiccup there, because I'm like, oh, I remember back in the day when everyone was really pushing big wall art. My market, I feel like they tend to, and I do too, they tend to lean more towards smaller artwork. So like 8x12s, 11x14s, and not real big, like getting like a 30x40 in the nursery or whatever. When that was a thing, I feel like it was kind of crucial to have a big screen, because you were like, I want to show this image huge because I really want to sell big wall art. I don't sell big wall art. It's all smaller. So having it on a laptop seems to work fine.
So if they aren't able to come to an appointment, you are then putting them on a gallery.
Online. I would. I have not had that problem except for only like a couple of times, but Oh, well, and I should say, once somebody has kind of gone through the motion, like I've got a lot of repeat clients. And they've been through this process with me consistently. They've done an ordering meeting, they've ordered artwork sometimes. Sometimes they just get digitals. Whenever I see them, if they only got digitals, I'm like, what did you do with the images? You know, and sometimes they're like, oh, I did this, or other times they're like, nothing. And they're so aware of me and what I offer and what I do that they have a somewhat different reaction. They either say, you know what, I really do want to meet with you because I want to do XYZ and I want to do something for my parents and I would love your help. And then other times they come in and they're like, this was just a quick like update session. I literally just need digitals. Or I just think I want to get like one 8x12. Can I just order that online? Like they really know what they want. So once they've done an ordering meeting with me, I guess I do have some people that are like, do you mind just sending me the gallery and then let's hop on a phone call maybe to like finalize that frame I want to get.
And do you have issues with people being able to make their choices at the appointment? Like, what do you do in that scenario, or is that even an issue?
So I learned a long time ago that that's why it is so important to talk about the artwork before the meeting. You talk about prices, you're just very transparent. I think this would be really pretty. They really like something and you tell them the price. Like, oh yeah, that is really pretty. Okay, so that size is $9.95. That album, you know, starts at 1500 for X number of images, et cetera. So I think it's really important to be very transparent about pricing upfront and have conversations about it. What I found happen in the retail studio was if somebody showed up and they did not have a conversation with I had a concierge at the front, she's like the receptionist, but we called her the client concierge. If she did not have a chance for whatever reason to walk around the studio with the client and kind of talk about like, oh, what are you thinking about doing with your images? And this would be pretty. And this is you know, we always had these bundles of like a handful of digitals with this framed art. They were really popular. And she would walk around with them and give them pricing. That was really important. If that didn't happen, they would walk in and not be able to make a decision. You know, people really need a minute to, you know, they might be initially a little bit price shocked, but then they're like, well, but gosh, it was so pretty. And they go home and they look at their house and they're like, that's a splurge for me, but I want it. I want it. Right. So I'm going to go talk to my husband and see if he's okay with it. So there's a whole journey that they go on financially that you need to allow them to have prior to coming into an ordering meeting. They need to know I'm probably going to spend about this much money. And then some people have a completely different relationship with money and they walk in and they could spend thousands and it's no big deal for them. So, but I'm
And
always.
another rule of photography is you do not know who those people are.
Right? You
Like,
have
don't
no
make
idea.
assumptions. Don't judge a cover. The what is it? Don't judge a book by the cover. Like,
Yeah,
sometimes it's always the people that you think are gonna like buy a lot that don't, and that don't value photography. Like, they're, you know, driving very expensive cars with very expensive handbags. I mean, it's not to say they don't purchase, but for us, like in our market, it was like, oh, this is going to be a good sale. And then it was like $35 for a, you know, an 8x10. And I mean, a 5x7. What?
Right. Yeah,
And
what happened? Yeah.
then the people that come in and you think they're like me, you know, like they're on a budget. You feel bad like that you're presenting these kinds of prices to them for some reason, which is just a terrible thing to make that kind of judgment. But you know what I'm
We
saying?
can't help
And
it. We can't help it.
you're
We need
right. And
everyone.
then they buy, and you're like, wow.
Right. Like, I didn't know that was going to happen today. And you
Right.
never really do. And so, you know, that's why it is so important to know your numbers, right? I know TMA is very, very good about you know, kind of instructing members on you got to know your numbers and
Right.
you have to know your minimum and you have to set your prices there. I don't walk into an ordering meeting feeling the need to try to convince anybody of anything. You know, like I don't have a sales strategy. I mean, the only strategy I have is that I make sure that they are prepared, which just means they know what I offer, they've had a chance to look at the prices, and then it's up to them. They get to choose. I am not interested in talking anybody into anything. I am not that kind of salesperson, and I don't really think you need to be. Somebody is either willing and interested in buying something, or they aren't. And if they aren't, or they aren't ready right now, I respect that. I respect people's budgets. I respect their needs, and I don't ever want to push beyond that. But that's as long as they're prepared walking in, and as long as my numbers are set so that, like, my prices are set so that even if they buy the smallest thing on my, you know, smallest package I offer, I still have made enough money. Mm-hmm. I didn't take a step backwards. If you're volume, you can do things different. In volume, you are relying on volume. You're relying on more people and more, you're selling time at that point. You're not selling product really. When you work volume, you are selling your time. Mm-hmm. And when you sell artwork, you're selling artwork. That's part of your model. And so, somebody could walk out of our retail studio having spent $300 and be like, yeah, cool. Like, at least they're happy. They got what they wanted. It's okay. You know, I don't know if we had a package that small, but, they could do that. And then the next person that walked in the door spent $5,000. Mm-hmm. And it was like, oh, wow, cool. You know, I didn't know that was going to happen either. So great.
I heard somewhere that someone said this and it always stuck with me. I want to be the photographer people save for, meaning, when I have a baby one day, I'm going to use her. When I get married one day, I'm going to use her. You know, I want to, and that to me, like the flip side of that, is not really being expensive, but being special, you know, like, or then I heard this kind of, that goes kind of along with it. I want someone to walk into my studio and go, oh, this is going to be expensive, but it's going to be worth it. You know, like we've right. all been yes. to those restaurants, those places, you know, those brands that, you know, there's certain brands that are just like expensive. And then there are those things that like we would save for because they're so special.
Okay. And then you look at what is the thing that made it special? So I just thought of like restaurants, for instance. My husband and I don't know if we're really foodies anymore. I don't know. We've got kids that we're driving around all the place now, but you know, he's got a lot of people that work in the restaurant business, and his family is chef, and one that was at a very, very high-end restaurant. And so we talk a lot about restaurants and the experience that you have there. And you spend a lot of money at a restaurant, you have an expectation about the experience, and you want the food to be really good. No matter how good the food is, if you didn't feel cared for, it didn't feel worth it. So like it's tying it back to, yeah, we all want to be great photographers, but I'm telling you, you can be years in this business and have people tell you every day how great you are and still feel like, oh, but I've still got a lot to learn. But what you can always do is treat your clients really special and walk them through, you know, a whole process and tell them like, hey, I'm not going to let go of your hand. You let me know when you're done and you let go of my hand. Does that make sense? Like I will keep holding your hand through this process until you say you're done and you have everything you need. And, you know, if you relate that to restaurants, like I've gone to restaurants where I'm like, oh, the food was really good, but our server like didn't really say anything to us and didn't help. And like, you know, just ignored us. And that was really annoying. I probably won't be back. It's too bad because it was really good.
That's such a great analogy because that's so easy to apply to your business. Think about it for a second. If we took just the food, just the pictures, just the food out of the restaurant in three different, you know, low end, middle, high end restaurant, take the food out, take it home, put it on a paper plate, and you're just looking at the food.
Uh-huh.
Yeah. You know, like there's probably not like, there might be that exceptional dessert or like, but I don't think it's about the food. It's about the atmosphere. How did you feel? What did it sound like? You know, it's the, like you said, the, how were you cared for? How were you served? Did you leave feeling really special? Like did you make a memory that night? Like, you know, I think we can really apply that to our businesses.
Right. And it's so simple. I mean, it's things like, you know, always remembering the kids' names. You know, the moment they walk in the door, did you greet them with a really big warm smile and greet their child? by name. And, you know, mom's like, oh my God, you know, I don't know. I think they're just like little, they're just little things. You know, we talk a lot about experience and gifts and helping people style their wardrobe, but sometimes it's just those just little moments that you actually show, like, I care about you as an individual. Everything else I do for everybody, but you are an individual to me, and you're known and you're seen here.
So I want to shift gears just a little bit. And like, I feel like you're just such a wealth of knowledge. I have like other questions I'd like to ask you. Would you tell us a little bit about we talked about client experience. Tell us a little bit about how you're structured. So are like you're not all inclusive because you're doing IPS, but so you have a creative fee up front?
I do. Mm-hmm.
Okay. And then do you have collections? Are you just basic? Is everything a la carte? Like, tell us a little bit about how you're structuring your offerings.
Sure. And I actually play with that quite a bit. And I'll tell you why in a second. But so I have all of my sessions are $300 for the session fee. I don't know where I came up with that number, just worked for me. And then, but my maternity sessions include a hair and makeup artist. So they're $450. And then I have, then when they come in, they can choose from, you know, digitals. My smallest like package is, I think I sell a set of like 20 digitals for $1,200 or something. Most people end up buying all the digitals, which is $1,700. And then maybe, you know, a piece of artwork or an album or something like that, or a couple pieces of artwork. So I have some packages, I call them collections actually. So I have some collections, and inside every collection, sorry, I should also say I have a la carte and some collections. So, inside the collections, all of those receive all the digitals. So it kind of like takes that off the table. Like, we don't even need to talk about digitals, because if you buy one of these packages, you're getting them anyway. And to me, there's sort of an incentive to buy that package, because anytime you buy a collection with me, you're getting a couple other things plus the digitals. We know everybody wants digitals. I don't even remember the last. I had one client for a while who like, she was like, I don't care about digitals. I would actually just give them to her, whatever we printed, just because I loved her. And I'd be like, here, just in case, you know, she would just only want to work. Everybody else wants them. And so I was like, okay, I want to remove that from the conversation and just put them in here, and then design packages that I feel like I see happen a lot. So I feel like it's really, really important to, instead of copy what someone else is doing, you really think about, what am I at? Like, pay attention to what your clients say they're interested in. So for instance, one of my packages that I sell a lot, I'm trying to remember the price of it, but I can't right now, but it includes 2 8x12 framed prints and all the digitals. The reason it includes two is because I've had a lot of people hire me for maternity. We get together to see the images, and as they're looking at these, they're like, you know what? I think I want to also do newborn with you, or they go into, you know, a membership. I have a membership that's kind of based on what I think. I feel like TMA created that membership, but the collective where you get three. So sometimes they'll go into that, but they're like, I want to do newborn. And then I want to decide what I want to do in terms of frames. I just don't know if I want to do a maternity frame or maternity newborn or just two newborn, et cetera. So I saw that happening a lot, and I said, oh, okay, I just need to create a package around that, because then what would happen was I'd go to the newborn ordering meeting. So they would buy all the digitals from the maternity, we'd photograph the newborn, I'd go to that meeting, and they'd be like, okay, now I want to buy that package. So I get all the digitals from the newborn and then the 2 8x12s, and I'll do one maternity and one newborn, or maybe two newborn. So the only reason I have that package is based on, historically, I had a lot of clients that just sort of were moving in that direction very naturally. So I created a package around it to just make it a pretty obvious thing to buy. And to me, that's what collections need to be. They need to be incentivizing. They need to provide something tangible so that I really believe that clients feel a much higher satisfaction with their experience and the amount of money they spent when they actually walk away with something tangible, right? Digitals are homework. Artwork is just something beautiful to enjoy. So to me, that's what those collections should be built around. And then I just have a smaller one that has smaller prints and a bigger one that has like a series of three frames that are a little bit bigger. So especially for people that are like starting a gallery wall. So those are probably the most thoughtful thing I have. And then I have my a la carte menu.
So you don't have an album collection. Would be an a la carte.
Oh, I do. I do actually have an album collection. I don't know why I don't sell a lot of albums. I honestly don't know why. I've got so many beautiful, I think my clients are just like, I just want something on my wall. I have no idea why. I wish I could, because I just love the album so much as a mom, and my kids being a little older, I'm always like, I mean, these albums are so great to have around later in life. And they're like, I know, they're so pretty. I'll get the framed art. I'm like, okay, let's go with the framed art. Yeah. And so, you know, and then I know other photographers who they're like, that's all I sell. So I don't know. It's actually been something I've thought about a lot. It's because I do have one package that is an album that is actually, I think, the same price as that one that's the 2 8x12s. And mm-hmm. So it's got an album in there.
So you said that you're allowing them to use that collection or package for maternity and newborn. Do you let them cross over and purchase that way? I mean, they're only getting the digitals from the newborn, correct?
Yes. Yeah. Digitals are not allowed to blend together into one package, but with framed art, absolutely. I don't mind if that's the image that they want up. And I kind of understand their position of being mm-hmm. pregnant and just unsure. And they're like, well, I don't know. I think later, or I think, you know, for years prior to me really focusing on maternity and newborn, I was photographing a lot of families, and I would notice that, you know, 2 or 3 sessions later, so like 3 years later, I would get a call from mom that was like, I need help. I want to create now a family wall of all the images that you've done for us. And I ended up, you know, creating from multiple sessions. And so, yeah, it just, I would never say to a client, no, you can't order something from your past session during this meeting.
How many sessions are you shooting a month, roughly?
I would say 6 or 8. I usually land around there.
Do you mind sharing your average sale?
You know, I knew you were going to ask me that. I haven't done the math. I didn't do the math yet on last year. I really need to, but I will
say. What's a typical sale? What are people buying?
My sales range usually from either $1,700 for those who just get digitals, all the way up to like $10,000, $12,000. But the majority, I would say, land around like between 2 and 3, right? Where they're getting all the digitals and then maybe adding on one framed piece. I mean, that would end up adding up to around, I guess, almost just that shy of $3,000. So, but those, you know, those low ones and those high ones really throw an average out of whack. So I'm like, I think my average would probably be around 2 or 3,000.
Do you have help? Do you do all this by yourself?
I do all of it alone now. I went from like this whole team of people to really like just paring down entirely to just me. I even used to have like social media people and SEO and all that stuff. And it's just me right now.
What's in your camera bag?
I shoot with a 5D Mark, whatever the mirrorless one is. I can't remember the name of that one. And then, R5 is what
R5.
I have.
Okay.
Yeah, R5. And then I shoot almost entirely with the 85, the real nice one. That's like a 1.2. Mm-hmm. And then I recently dropped my 50mm 1.2, my good one. And so I have to ship that one out to get fixed. I have a backup one that's like a slightly less expensive, but it's just not quite as good. So I shoot primarily with those two. And then I also have a 100mm that I'll use sometimes for like little baby details, or I actually even like that one. It's a macro lens, but I really love it outside as well. If I'm photographing outdoors.
What's your favorite? I didn't send you this question.
That's okay.
Your favorite business. I don't know if I'm even saying it right. Your favorite tool, your favorite product, what's one thing you're like, oh, I love this thing and I couldn't live without it.
I would say I really crave organization. I mean, there's like all the, you know, I love Lightroom, I love Photoshop, like I love all that because it's just fun to dive into it. But I think the one thing I probably couldn't live without would be Asana. I use Asana to keep myself organized, and I use it for, I used to use it with my team, and I now use it just for me. I've got like personal boards, and I use one board that's just brain dump. You know, I think I'm just a very, my brain is constantly going and like thinking of new ideas and new things that maybe I want to do, and I never want to forget them. So I'll just put them in a brain dump maybe. And then, so I track everything in Asana and keep myself daily organized, monthly, brain dump, all of that.
What is your favorite quote?
So right now I have been, so my husband and I went through like a lot of changes last year, not in our relationship. Relationship is more solid than ever, but we moved, I moved my studio. I was, you know, I'm sort of making a lot of changes at work. I was growing an education platform. Like the kids thankfully didn't have to move schools, but it just felt like a really challenging year. And I have really been meditating on, it's from Thessalonians, rejoice always, be in constant prayer, and give thanks in all circumstances. And just sort of always being, I think I'm always a pretty joyful person. I am always like, I actually had a boyfriend that broke up with me once because he was like, oh, you're so silver lining. You know, and I'm like, sorry. But I just, you know, like if something goes wrong, I'm always the first one that's like, yeah, but what we learned from this is, you know, and so I can usually stay in a pretty happy place, but last year was kind of struggling. I struggled with it a little bit more. And so I've really just been resonating on this idea of like, just be thankful in all your circumstances. You learn from all of them, you grow with all of them. You know, I always say that to my kids that, you know, this hard moment right now is what sheds light on the good moments. Like you can't even really be appreciative of the really good moments without it being sort of reflected by, oh, that was hard. Now this is good. And so just being thankful in like every circumstance that you're in, because there's always something good that you can learn from it.
Laura, how do you define success?
Oh, you always ask this question. So I did think about that because I knew you were going to ask. And I was like, gosh, I literally can't, if you, okay. So I do know if you like say, Lori, like pinpoint a word at least or something. I believe success is multifaceted. I don't think it's one thing. I think I can have moments that I feel super successful at work. And I'm like, cool, great. Like check the box. Like I feel good. Like that was great. Like whatever it could be, it could be a big ordering meeting or it could have been a great session. And I just feel really good about it. And then at times I'm like, I just felt so comforted and loved at home. And like everything just feels like it's flowing and everything feels good. And I don't know. I can't put like there's not one area of my life that I'm like, if that's successful, then I'm happy. Like if I make that much money, then I'm happy. If my kids are perfectly happy, then I'm happy, you know, because I'm an independent person. Like I don't live through their happiness. I'm happy for them, but I look at all these different areas of my life and I'm like, I want joy there and I want joy here. And I don't want to ignore this piece of my life. Okay. But if I had to put one word on it, I would say when I'm able to have like create life in a way that feels peaceful. That I'm not hustling and I'm not constantly striving. And I can just, again, like be happy in all circumstances. I can just find the happiness and just be there and live in it. And that's something that I think I am always kind of wanting to do and finding that peace in life.
I think with that question, I ask that question so often just from my own journey, because like you said, like we spend so much of our life hustling or so much of our business, like just trying to get to that point that feels like success. And I think like I heard this yesterday, it said, we have to be careful not to spend our whole life building a life, but at some point you've got to start enjoying your life. Or do you know that feeling like when I get this, when I do this, when I reach this, I'm going to be able to stop and enjoy it. And I don't know if that pinnacle ever comes. Like you just have to make up your mind to Like find, like you said, find joy along the way.
You have to choose it. You know, and I heard someone say on some podcast recently, they're like, I don't believe podcast, or I don't believe balance exists. And I thought to myself, no, balance is a choice. You can choose balance by just trying, by saying no sometimes. You can choose balance by just making different choices. You know, yeah, there are going to be moments that feel kind of chaotic and somewhat out of your control, but you can always move back to that place of being like, you know what, I'm going to choose downtime for myself right now. Now, my husband's really good at being like, we need to have a three-dimensional life. This is kind of in line with what we were talking about, but it just popped in my head. He's always like, I just don't want to be one-dimensional. I don't want to be one-dimensional. And what he really means by that is he's like, I want to make sure we're having fun together and we're going to concerts and we're traveling and when we're home, we're really resonating in home and we're reading together and turning the fire on. And you know, we like to wake up at 5 a.m. together and you know, just kind of do our thing. And you know, he's just such a reminder to me all the time to like just live life fully. And that doesn't have to mean anything other than what you want to make it mean for yourself. Like for him, it's, you know, concerts and travel and doing an Ironman and things. And for me, it's a little different, but making sure life doesn't stay one-dimensional. Like I'm only striving for this one thing. And then life will just feel, it kind of falls into place. It just feels better because you're doing so many things that bring happiness.
Well, Laura, I could just talk to you all day long. We're going to
Same.
have to plan a beach trip or something where we can all meet and sit around in our pajamas and talk, because I
Oh,
bet
that
we could
sounds
talk for
amazing.
days.
I love it.
But I'm so excited that you are going to be an educator in our membership next month. And I just want to say that, like, I don't know how long you have, I know I've noticed recently, you know, that you've moved into the education space, and maybe it's been longer than recently, but you know, I just want to say, like, there's so much education right now, and so many people like doing that. And you're the real deal. Like, you've been around long enough to, you know, learn the lessons and tell the tale, and you've made the mistakes and know what works. And like, I just think, like, you know, like, with so much out there, it's important to connect with people that really, you know, have a lot of wisdom to share, and you do. So
Oh, thank you. Thank you. I've
yeah.
definitely reached a point in my life where I just suddenly, it is relatively new for me to do education, but I just reached this point where I was like, I have a lot bottled up inside me that I just
Yeah.
share. So
Yeah.
it's really my pleasure to start teaching. I love it. So thank you. I appreciate that gift.
Yes. So just tell everybody where they can connect with you and the resources that you offer.
Yeah. So I have my portrait side of the business is Reese and Co. Portraits. Reese is my first daughter, so like Reese Witherspoon. So it's reeseandcoportraits.com, and that's what my Instagram is as well, Reese and Co. Portraits. I do, and then from there you can link through to the education. That piece is under my name, so lauraesmond.com, and I just go in and create whatever I think is needed. So there is an IPS course in there that really takes somebody from beginning to end, you know, how to really get set up to offer sales and be comfortable with those first few sales meetings. And I have a course called Get Rooted, where we're really helping people, you know, to women to create truly sustainable businesses that they can run with, you know, kids at home and the whole deal. So there are a handful of resources on there.
Well, thank you. Thank you so much.
Oh, thank you. It was my pleasure to be here.
Thank you. Thank you. Thank you, Laura. You are so full of wisdom, and I just appreciate you so much for sharing that with all of us. If you're looking for a community of fellow motherhood photographers that you can lean on and go to when you have questions or concerns, check out our free group titled the Motherhood Anthology Community on Facebook. There you'll find thousands of like-minded photography business owners and a warm and welcoming environment where you can ask questions and collaborate with other photographers, and we sure would love to have you there. Y'all know I like to end these with a quote, and today's quote is from Jill Conrath. You have to drop your sales mentality. Instead, start working with your prospects as if they had already hired you. So from our lens to yours, until next time, friends.